Hey, my name's Jose, and this is Geek Mythos Podcast. It's kind of weird talking to you about, into this microphone, but I guess I'm going to have to get used to it, right? I do have a co-host, but due to long distance and no internet, he isn't here today. His name is also Jose, but he goes by Joey. He's one of my best friends, and I met him through my job that I've been with for 5 years. He was there around 2006, left, and then I got there around 2014. And I really want to say about 2016, he came back. And nosy person that he is, he was listening to one of my conversations with somebody about a superhero. I believe it was either a movie or a comic and probably their power, and he chimed in, and ever since then we hit it off. We talked about superheroes, movies, comics, video games, and we also knew that there was a big community about these types of things, this culture, you would say. And we wanted to either use some type of platform like YouTube, or probably at the time Instagram somehow, to talk about these certain types of stories that we have learned, loved, and taken to heart with. We thought the name should include the word mythology. And the reason why is, in 2018, a beautiful game came out, God of War. And that amazing game took aspects of Norse mythology and Greek mythology and a little bit of the Egyptian mythology. And we know, as geeks or nerds, however you want to look at it, the fandom itself needed that fictionalized sci-fi religious part, but fictionalized in our history, which is still present. For those who know us in person, you guys already know that we love talking about these types of heroes, villains, vigilantes. But for those who don't know us, I'm so glad that you guys decided to give us a chance and letting us whisper in your ears. But in all seriousness, I'm glad to be doing this because we've been wanting to do this for quite a while. And I needed to push myself to do this because if not, then who? And if not, then when? I also wanted you guys to know the age differences between me and Joey, and the reason why is because I'm 23 and he is 35. He obviously has more knowledge in comics, life, entertainment, music, pop culture, and to let you guys know that he also is an artist. And for myself, my background is criminal justice, and I just love reading comics. But in the end game of my life is to become eventually a homicide detective, but you never know where the chips might fall. This podcast isn't just going to cover comics. We will talk about movies, TV shows, music, spoilers, video games, important topics that have to do with any of those. That will include, of course, our lives and how we took some aspects of those kind of stories with us. And we're going to also include rants, because we're such an angry society, but more importantly, me and Joey are just we get angry and we hold it in, and we sometimes hold too many things in that ranting helps but alleviate and give us peace. Now, at a young age in my life, I can remember, of course, watching Superman 1978 with Christopher Reeves. And yes, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it is the truth. See, that movie made me believe that a man can fly. And that was the point of the movie, right? that a man can always also do the right thing. That a boy from Kansas tries to do the right thing. And then I watched a movie about Batman. That a boy from Gotham loses his parents and tries to get the bad guys and make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. Finds talented kids and makes a family, a bad family. And that us kids can envision ourselves through those kids as if we were Robins fighting crime at night. A woman made out of clay finds resentment to humanity and knows she's powerful enough to try to save humanity. A millionaire philanthropist dies and his son becomes one of the world's intelligent person to try to save the world alongside a patriot from World War II that was frozen due to saving the world. A kid from Queens going to school, but right after trying to save and help while web-slinging across New York City, trying to be your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. A time traveler that stole or borrowed a box, depending on your point of view, meeting extraordinary people and fantastic people with those adventures, saving civilizations across time, saints, and fighting powerful beings from either getting obliterated and getting stronger after defeating one enemy after another. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on about what I want to do with this platform and what I want to say. But yeah, me and Joey can retell all these stories about these heroes, but we want to do more than that. We want to tell you our stories and what we took from it. After reading them and viewing them, we want to say how it impacted us. Our lives, my life may not be a tragedy, but we respect these fictionalized heroes, villains, or vigilantes, and we learn from their mistakes to get past our struggles. This episode is dedicated to Stan Lee, one of the most beloved, admired,
did I get through? Finally. Look, I'm going to be brief. I kind of sort of had to hack into his transmission to get through. You know, Joker style. Hopefully, he doesn't find out it's me. Well, I mean, if he does, he'll thank me later. Anyway, Jose and I have been trying to get this podcast live for the past, give or take, 2 years, 2 years and a half or so. And it's been in development hell. But here we are. Our fascination with everything geek is the driving force of this podcast. Jose was driven by hope and his love for Superman. For me, it all started with the 1966 Batman television series. From that point on, I was amazed by everything Batman. Even when he appeared in Scooby-Doo Meets Batman. You see, Batman wasn't just a show. It was a doorway. It was an introduction to a world I will never deny. I'm a geek and this is my truth. I love Star Wars, and I love Star Trek. I love Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Spider-Man, Green Lantern, and the list goes on. I will never choose DC over Marvel or vice versa because in the end, they have something in common. They have stories to tell. Jose and I share this common bond, and we're hoping that we can share this with you. With our listeners, we don't know what's going to happen. We can't predict that things will go well. But tell me, what do we have to lose? On November 12, 2018, the legendary Stan Lee passed away at age 95. He will be immortalized through his stories, his creations, and through his incredible but brilliant cameos in movies, cartoons, video games, and television shows. You could even spot him in the animated movie Teen Titans Goes to the Movies, where he makes fun of himself. Standman Lee will be missed. But you see, this isn't a farewell. This is a celebration for the man who created the most iconic, well-known heroes to ever grace our household. Even the villains are welcomed with open arms. Stan Lee gave his characters human emotions and life's endless struggles. His characters weren't just heroes or villains. They were human. Readers were able to relate to characters like Spider-Man or the X-Men. In a time of prejudice and racism, he created the X-Men, four teenagers who were treated like outcasts because they were different. He created the first black hero, Black Panther, a character that lives in a fictional village known as Wakanda. At a time when black people were written as savages, Black Panther was an African king who lived and ruled an advanced civilization. Peter Parker was a socially awkward teen who was bullied daily by his classmates because he was different. Peter Parker was a nerd who preferred science above all things, and that made him an outcast. However, things change for Peter when he is bitten by a radioactive spider and becomes the amazing Spider-Man. Stan Lee wasn't writing to keep his job, or writing because it was what was expected of him. You see, there was a point in his life when writing comics felt juvenile and a waste of his time, that he almost gave up the profession completely until his wife gave him the inspiration for the Fantastic Four. And from that point on, the rest was history. In 1960, Stan Lee was contemplating leaving Time Lee Comics. At the time, Marvel went by another name. He didn't see a future in writing comic books anymore. At this point in his life, he believed that writing comics felt juvenile and a waste of his time. During this time, Martin Goodman, owner of Timely Comics, wanted Stan Lee to create a superhero team, similar to the Justice League. Legend has it that the president of DC Comics, Jack Liebowitz, gave Martin Goodman the idea to create a team like the Justice League. At the time, Justice League was dominating sales, and to Martin, it only made sense to create a team of their own at Timely Comics. Stan Lee, driven by his wife's inspiring words, is what led him to create the superhero team known as the Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four, a team of astronauts who were struck by radiation that turned them into the first family of superheroes. The team was led by Reed Richards, who was also known as Mr. Fantastic. Reed had the ability to extend his body like a rubber band to long distances. The beautiful Sue Storm, who also known as the Invisible Woman, is able to turn invisible and create force fields out of her abilities. Johnny Storm, aka the Human Torch, who has the ability to turn his entire body into flame by simply screaming, "Flame on!" And last but not least, the lovable blue-eyed Benjamin Grimm, who is also known as the Thing. With his mangled immense stone body and his incredible strength, he is indestructible. However, what he lacks in looks, he has in strength and heart. With co-creator and artist Jack Kirby return, the Fantastic Four easily dominated at Timely Comics. The Fantastic Four weren't just the first superhero team. They also opened doors to many new characters at Marvel. On Fantastic Four, issue 52-53, they introduced King T'Challa, the Black Panther. The Inhumans, Galactus, and the Silver Surfer were also introduced in the Fantastic Four comics as well. Not only did the Fantastic Four give birth to popular heroes and villains, but it also gave rise to more radiation and monster-based heroes. The Incredible Hulk struck by gamma radiation, Spider-Man, a teenager who was bitten by a radioactive spider, and Daredevil, a boy who was blinded by radioactive waste that strengthened and multiplied the use of 4 out of 5 senses. In 1962, a scientist by the name of David Bruce Banner was struck by gamma radiation, and the side effect only transformed him into the most powerful monster everyone knows and loves, the Incredible Hulk. Stan Lee's love for classic monsters like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and Frankenstein is what led the driving force that motivated Stan to create the Hulk. In 1977, the Incredible Hulk became a household name when actor Bill Bixby played smart but a heartbreaking David Banner for the live-action television show The Incredible Hulk, while bodybuilder and actor Lou Ferrigno portrayed the lovable and angry Hulk.
It was the show that gave us one of the greatest themes and its best lines on television. Please, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me if I was angry. The Incredible Hulk television show did not just give us the Hulk, but as the show progressed, it gave us an early vision of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. When NBC made two movies based on the Hulk and some of Marvel's famous characters, Daredevil and Thor, The Incredible Hulk ended in 1988. Years later, Bill Bixby lost his battle with cancer. It's one of those lines you can't help but remember without thinking about Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. Peter Parker was just a smart kid from high school who was at the right place at the right time. Peter Parker was bitten by a radioactive spider and gave him the abilities and strength of a spider. But not only did the spider give him the strength, but the knowledge to create his own webbing. Stan Lee came up with the idea when he spotted a fly around his office. Immediately, he thought, how cool would it be to see a superhero have the abilities to crawl on walls? Good old Stan ran through a series of names, names that wouldn't appeal to readers, and then the name hit him. Spider-Man. His idea of Spider-Man was criticized by the owner of Timely Comics, Martin Goodman. Martin Goodman didn't believe in Lee's idea. He didn't believe that a teenager could be a hero or have problems or worry. Martin felt that Lee didn't know the concept of heroes, but Stan Lee took his chance and ran with his gut. In 1962, Spider-Man debuted on issue 15 of Amazing Fantasy. On that day, Spider-Man became a sensation overnight. After Martin saw the numbers and sales at Timely, he knew what he had to do to have Stan Lee write more Spider-Man comics. In 1963, The Amazing Spider-Man was published, with Stan Lee writing and Steve Ditko drawing. Spider-Man wasn't just popular at Marvel Comics. He became a household name spawning toys, cartoons, video games, live-action television shows, and movies. There was even a live-action Spider-Man television show based in Japan that had him fighting kaijus in a giant mech suit. Spider-Man's popularity skyrocketed when Sam Raimi brought the web-slinger into the big screen, with Tobey Maguire portraying the role of Peter Parker in Spider-Man and Kristen Dunst portraying the fabulous Mary Jane Watson. After Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield donned the Spidey suit for two films, and the rest became history after Tom Holland donned the suit and became our new friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
That wasn't very nice of you. You could have just told me so I could edit you in. Duh. Anyways. In 1963, the word mutant became a metaphor for something much bigger. When Stan Lee created the X-Men, he was tired of using the same old formula, using radiation as a catalyst for his characters. Hulk, the X-Men, Daredevil, and Spider-Man were all created by radiation. However, the X-Men were much different, a different breed of heroes. How does Stan Lee simply put it? They were born that way. In the 1960s, while Peter Parker was being bullied for being a nerd, mutants were being hunted down and murdered for being different. The word mutant was just a metaphor for the harsh realities of life. Prejudice and xenophobia became the blueprint and backbone of the mutant population in the Marvel Universe. Teacher and leader of the X-Men, Charles Xavier, who was inspired by Martin Luther King Jr., was a telepath with telekinetic abilities. Professor X, a name he went by, led four teenage outcasts to protect humanity from evil mutants. We got Scott Summers, also known as Cyclops, second in command of the X-Men, had the ability to shoot explosive beams from his eyes. Jean Grey, abilities are much similar to the Professor's, with the potential to even grow much more powerful than the Professor. Spoiler alert. Hank McCoy, also known as the Beast. There isn't much to this. His extreme intelligence of a scientist besides his beast-like qualities. Bobby Drake, also known as Iceman, has the ability to manipulate cold and ice. The cover of the first issue of the X-Men bared a striking resemblance to the very first issue of the Avengers. the differences between the two covers were its members and its antagonist. When Stan Lee created the villain Magneto, his character was inspired by one man in civil rights leader Malcolm X. While Professor X was inspired by peace and humanity, Magneto was, also known as Eric Eisenhart, wanted to prove to humanity that mutants were a superior race, calling all mutants Homo superior. And that's the end of the show for today. And I'm glad that you guys listened throughout the whole thing and still here. And I want you guys to please tell your friends about us and spread the word. That's how we grow as a community. Thank you.